We have none other than John Sweet joining us this morning. And maybe you've recognized the name. John is a prolific photographer, an incredible husband, a great father of now two. At the time that we recorded this podcast, his wife was expecting at any moment, and we're excited to say baby number two is in the world. And so we're excited for you to tune into this episode of Dads Who Try, where you get to hear conversations from a girl dad, conversations from an expecting dad, and all of the nuances, intentions that go into being fathers while at the same time not having fathers in our lives. And so we're really excited for you to tune in. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share the link. I don't know if that's what people do these days. Share the podcast with friends and family. It helps us so much. A review. We want to hear your feedback. We want to hear what you don't like, what you do like about the podcast. We just want to get better. But this podcast starts kind of mid-conversation. So why don't we jump into it right now?
Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team no sleep, baby. Dads who try.
I mean, John, you were like the first wave of viral users on Instagram, bro. Like, you were part of that first. You influenced photography across the entire space of Instagram.
That's a lot of credit. That's a lot of credit.
It is true.
But I was definitely in that early season of what we see as the influencer today. Which is why I put retired influencer in my bio, because it's just like I've just done it for so long.
Yeah.
It's more just like I love to play on words with people, because people are like, wait, you're actually like a retired influencer, like you can be that, like
that was a career that you could retire from.
Yeah, exactly. So it's but yeah, it's been a fun journey over the years, and it's cool to see how the space has grown, and also in the photography world, it's cool to see that people can have a moment nowadays to just be noticed, especially with how algorithms are in play and all that kind of stuff. It gives a lot of people more of a shot. For me, I'm chilling with all that. I can't do that hustle anymore. Especially for like Instagram influencers, like you have to be like pushing out content like a madman.
It's true.
And with a kid, there's just no way. Like I have to be home way more now. So it's tough to jet set like I used to. And well, that's relative. I still travel a lot, but it's just way more strategic versus
totally,
I feel like,
spontaneous. You can't just get up and go.
Oh yeah, I never knew what I was doing next week. I would just get an email and then all of a sudden I'm on a plane, and you're just kind of just doing the dang thing. So it's pretty wild. So it's cool to see where it's come into though, because it feels like everyone now has a shot. And like, if you're creative, it feels like there's an opportunity for your work to be noticed, which is really cool. If you can make a killer podcast to talk to dads, like there's an opportunity for it, which is really rad. Cause there's not enough of this, in my opinion, where you can have honest conversations and critically think in regards to what it's like to be a parent nowadays. And cause that, like a lot of what I'm used to hearing in the whole being a dad thing is like either our parents' generation, which is like who knows, and then it's all over the board, and then you have like, if you're in the church, like you have all this pastoral guidance and there's books and all these different things, and then there's outside sources too if you're not in that world, but it's like there's not a lot of identity in it. So just to have a place where there's more conversation, that's more relative, that makes more sense to the people that are listening. It's like, there's just not enough of this. So it's totally awesome to see you guys are killing it. And it's so fun. I know it's wild to think that we were at a church in Puyallup, to think about where our lives are now.
It's crazy.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. I can't believe it. Tommy's been on staff at Zoe with us for a long time. And, you know, he knows kind of like a big crew from Puyallup and stuff, and so like you would know Roman and Erica, obviously Pastor Chad, you know,
yeah,
and that whole crew and stuff, and so they're all some of Tommy's closest friends now too. We just kind of brought Tommy into the Puyallup crowd. So
yeah, man, it was probably about what, 7 years ago that I've officially met everyone, and so it's It's been fun, man. Obviously, moving from Michigan all the way to LA, you know, like I literally didn't know anybody when I first moved here to California. And so I was out here for a job. I was working in fashion for the first couple of years, and then ended up just navigating my way over. And of course, just you know, now a part of the faith world, and you know, creating. And so it's been awesome, man. It's been super fun. I got two boys, you know, one that's about to be 3 next month, and then one that's about to be 2 in June. So we went back to back. I
Oh,
know.
wow. They're like Irish twins.
And my wife is talking about another one this year. And so, bro, we're just pumping them out like rappers, you know?
What? That's awesome. What are your thoughts on having a third kid?
Well, honestly, it can't be any harder than what we have right now, to be honest with you. I feel like it. Like truly.
What do you mean it can't be harder?
What do you mean?
Adding a third kid?
I think adding a third would just kind of just be like so I don't think it would add any more than what we'd feel like we would do, to be
No,
honest with you.
it adds 33% more difficulty to your life.
I don't know. Like my son has already like maxed out to like where I'm like, I think having a baby.
Your limit.
Yeah, like bro, like my oldest was like a dream baby. He slept, he did all the right things. It was like he was a just checked all the boxes. So good. Then my second son was, you know, came into this world and then flipped the whole thing upside down. Just did the complete opposite. And he is still wild. He is still like you can't figure him out. You don't know what he's gonna do. You know, you think he's innocent, he's up to something, and then he just like smacks you. And you know, it's like one of those smacks that you're just like, do it again, I'll see what happens. You know? And so, you know, it's been interesting, man, to you know, to have two. And you know, I just don't know if there's ever like the right time. I
Yeah,
sure, you know, I think that there's
that's
like,
true.
you know, there's reasonable, I guess, timing with, you know, because you want to make sure it's financially savvy and all these things, X, Y, and Z. But it's also like, I don't know, as are we going to get any busier? We might. And so when do we wait to have another one? You know, I just don't know. And so we've just always just said, you know what, if we're going to have a kid, we're going to have a kid and just deal with whatever comes with it.
And John,
Do you like?
sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, do you like playing zone defense?
Yeah, you right now it's kind of
Man on man.
yeah, you know, still man. And then I played basketball in high school, and
Well,
so
John's a hooper too, like
John,
a
you're a
real deal
hooper.
hooper.
Oh yeah, I drove to the gym early, so I'm actually parked at the gym right now. I'm about to go hoop after this.
Stop! Like you get
Yeah,
after it.
I try to at least.
Let's go.
Yeah.
I played, you know, all up to varsity, and then I'd like we did like intramurals, like when I went to
In
college.
college, yeah.
Yeah, never like made it, bro. I'm 5'8". You know, I'm not
Hey,
like, come on, bro.
I
They're
feel you, dog.
they're not picking me first.
Yeah, you just got to shoot your way out of it, you know? Just start walking.
Exactly.
There's only one, 5'8", 5'6", star in a generation. Isaiah Thomas, Nate Robb, the other Isaiah Thomas. Like, you can't, there can't
Yeah,
be two in the league at the same time.
exactly.
And they got
But
Seattle roots.
yeah.
Yes. Did you ever hoop with Isaiah?
I have. I had to play against him in this league that was actually at Cascade Christian from down the street from Puyallup Foursquare.
Yeah.
And it's a 4-on-4 league, but giving that much space to
Yeah,
IT,
jeez.
it's like a cheat code. Well, it's a cheat code even when he was in the league. But it
Right.
was he's absolutely filthy. But having to guard him was not fun, because as you can tell, my athletic ability is very niched. I have a great first step, and then past my first step, anyone would catch me. So but I'll shoot my way out of everything. But it was yeah, guarding him was a nightmare. And I still see him every now and again and like pick up runs and all that kind of stuff. But
That's
he's
awesome.
a it's not even like it's really not fair. Like
Yeah.
he's
I
so good
remember
at
seeing him
basketball.
at runs at the Y and like watching him throw down on guys. And I'm like, dude, why didn't you ever dunk in the league? Like, even when he had like fast breaks, he would never dunk. But I've seen him like jam on some dudes before.
Oh yeah. He's an absolute specimen. I think a lot of it is just protecting his body and not being undercut, because
Right.
he's holding on up there. So it's a different kind of jumping for him to get up there. So it's but yeah, he's absolutely filthy. That dude can just play ball. There's a lot of local legends that came out of the 253 even Seattle area. So it's the hoop culture here is a ton of fun.
That's awesome.
We don't really get to play outside like you do in LA. But you know, it's good. We get in the gym and get after it. So the guys I'm playing with today, I've literally played with for the last 15 years, 16 years.
Who you want to shout out right now on the pod?
Who do I want to shout out on the pod?
Yeah, from like, who you're hooping with right now. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Sean and Dre. They already know. my buddy Donnie, he was gonna come, but he's played the last 3 days in a row, so he said he has marathon legs, so okay. He's like, I can't stay. So but it's good. It's good to get a sweat in.
Yeah.
John, you're about to have another kid.
Yes. We're like, I could literally get the call while we're on this podcast that she's going into labor.
Let's go. Do you guys know what you're having?
We're having another girl, which will be
two girls.
Yeah. So Maeve is literally the exact spawn of me. And she is a 2.5-year-old version of myself, and it's absolutely terrifying. So we're excited to see if the next go around has a little bit more of my wife in her. which will be great. So it's exciting. I wasn't really necessarily, Karin, my wife, is very structured, like very like on a plan. We have to do this, and like it just bows out well for her. So when she was like, hey, we're gonna have a second kid, it was like, we have to do it in a certain time frame so that it's the most beneficial for her work schedule. And she like literally nailed it. She like couldn't have done it any better. So she actually just started her first day of maternity today.
That's awesome.
And she doesn't go back to work until fall, which is fantastic.
What? So,
wow. Yeah. Let's go.
She's in education. So she planned her maternity all the way up until summer break, and then she gets all summer break, and then she just goes back in the fall. So she gets like a legit 6 months, 7 months.
What a dream.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I got 6 days.
Huh?
I got 6 days.
You only got 6 days?
I got 6 days. So that was cool. But
what did you do on those 6 days?
Cried and stayed awake. Just didn't sleep, you know. I just
were you crying because you're like, man, this is such a short amount of time? Or were you just crying because you're just so tired?
All of it. All of it. I mean, I think that the first one, I had 6 days and I legit didn't sleep. And, you know, I didn't do any of the smart stuff. Like, you know, when Steph's awake feeding, I should be sleeping. Like, I was just like, okay, let's all do everything together.
Yeah.
And so it just like kind of ruined me. You know, going back to work and like, they're like, oh, maybe you should take some more time off. You know, it's like, the second time around, I had to, you know, Steph got pretty sick right after birth. And so I had to stay up and like bottle feed, Grayson, like, you know,
yeah,
through all of his night stuff. Have you guys ever heard of the show, Rhythm and Flow?
Mm-hmm.
Like on Netflix, it's like a rap competition.
God.
I remember that was the only show that could keep me awake at night. So like I watched it like 4 or 5 times, like straight through. I know like every part of that whole thing.
And if Nate ever like retired from like his like normal 9-to-5 job, he's gonna pursue a rapping career for sure. It really has inspired him. Maybe drop a couple of bars right now.
Yeah, you want a couple of bars right now? All right, drop a beat for me. So my cough.
He's not gonna do it. Hey,
you should have heard him doing announcements like 12 years ago. It was absolutely fire.
Hey, all right, so you're about to be a dad of two any day now, and what have you learned right now with your first that you're like, hey, you know, this is I feel like I've learned this is what I'm gonna do? Or what are some things you're looking forward to with second?
Yeah, it's a huge question. Because I feel like if you have 2.5 years of life, helping this person stay alive. You have an everyday learning curve, and there's seasons of learning too. So it's definitely been the highlight of my life. I'll say that first. It's just an absolute joy getting to be a dad. And there's nothing that makes me more excited. And so I love that aspect to it. It's the learning side is super unique because, I didn't have like a full presence of a dad growing up. And so there was a lot of questions that I had, and there was also just the spontaneity of it too, just was also, I think, a healthy thing. Cause it allowed me to just kind of learn what works and kind of just implement who I am more versus what I was taught, if that makes sense. So, like the biggest thing that was like the learning curve was like how to show up for the family. Like,
yeah.
Cause, I work a lot, owning my own business and doing that kind of thing. You kind of just, you don't really have a shut off button. And so like learning how to create boundaries so that I have like a healthy presence at home, so that my wife is good and that my family's good is like, that's been a huge learning curve. And that's been a continual learning curve, like over the span of being a dad. And it's only going to get pushed even harder when we have round two. So it's, and it's a learning curve that, to be honest, I don't know if you can teach it, of how to create that boundary, because it's so unique for everybody. Like what your rhythms and your responsibilities are and how they meet each other. And also knowing that you have to nurture your family in the process and make sure that they're good. And so that's been like the constant learning that I've had to maneuver a ton in, especially professionally, like creating healthy boundaries so that, because I'm a photographer, so when I work, I don't have like an office that I go to, I just have my house. And so especially now that my wife's going to be on maternity leave, our house is just going to be full of bodies all the time now. So it's just trying to figure out, like, that's the next thing that I'm going to be having to learn is how to create healthy boundaries so that I have great time with family where I'm present and available, but then also creating great boundaries professionally. So that's, when you ask that question, my brain naturally goes there because I'm in it right now, like trying to figure it all out. Like we went on a date night last night, and one of the questions my wife asked me goes, have you figured out a solution yet for how you're going to work? I'm like, absolutely not. Like I have not been able to figure it out yet. So that's just something that, I mean, but they're even like the learning how to show patience to your child is like where you're not showing that it's not like you're trying to be passive. You're just trying to be patient and actually have it be, intentional. Cause I feel like oftentimes we can be so exhausted as parents that sometimes it can come across as very passive.
Yeah.
And we're not doing that. We're trying to be patient. We're learning how to be patient because, especially as, you guys are familiar with this, but like my daughter is pushing towards teenager fast.
It's real. It's real.
And she's pushing every button that she can find
intentionally. And yeah. It's not on accident.
It's so intentional. And she's learning how we respond, and she's learning how, like what decisions she's making or doing. And it's all starting to make sense to her. And she's like, what will make me laugh? What makes me cry? All this, like all these other factors are just coming into play. She's becoming her own little human. But our patience dwindles, very fast. And so learning how to draw that line between being intentionally patient versus trying to not be passive. So that Maeve knows that we're involved, even though she is completely not doing what we asked her to do. And so the learning side is fascinating. I didn't know that my brain could expand this far. It's a healthy thing us as, especially as dads. It's like, it's easier for us because we're not mom. It's like there's the nurture factor that we just don't possess, like that we just don't have.
Right.
And so like Maeve will be like crying, looking at me, and I'm like, I've already given you everything that I have. Like, I think it's time that you just go see mom. And mom's tired. She's on the couch. She's pregnant. Yeah. She wants to nap. I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, there's, it's time for you to wake up. Like, I have nothing left. Like, because our child needs you. And it's just that mom factor that's just such an important thing. And I think finding the right times to include that one, especially if you're just doing the dad thing, is so clutch. Because I think it's developmentally deserve to have a good balance of both parents.
I thought it was interesting. You know, marriage taught me how prideful I was, and having kids taught me how impatient I was and how quickly I am, you know, like we all have a Bible background, but you know, the phrase, you know, don't be quick to anger. You know, I always thought that had to do with like my friends, but now I'm realizing it has to do with parenting. You know, like I never thought I was an angry person. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know, I have to check myself, check my temper, check, you know, being irritable. And then on the flip side, it's like when I'm trying to be patient, I had to, this sounds so weird, but I have to have like active patience. Like,
right.
While I'm being patient with my children, they have to know I'm not just not here. You know, like, I don't know. It's a weird way to describe it, but
yeah.
I don't want to come across as passive, but I think a lot of times as dads, like, we can look like we're just existing in an environment, you know, but really we're just trying to, if I say something right now, it's not going to be the right thing to say. I gotta, you know, I haven't figured that out either.
Yeah. I think you guys are both, you know, nailing it right now. It is. I think a lot of like, I would feel like a lot of the stuff that I feel like that was important to me, and the stuff that I've been really trying to work on was through marriage and having kids, especially being a dad, to be honest, man. Like I thought I had patience for sure when, you know, and then when we got married, I'm like, oh yeah, I can get, you know, whatever. Like that's some of the stuff that we're going to sort and, you know, you navigate a little bit easier. And then of course, when you have kids and now two kids and, you know, they're screaming and they're fighting and they're yelling and, you know, you're trying to, you know, they whack you with something and, you know, like, hey man, like you gotta chill out, bro. And then they keep on doing it and screaming and yelling. And then you're out in public and they're doing that out in public. And so, dude, I used to get anxious, you know, like, when we'd be out in public and my kids would run around and they're in people's spaces. And then, you know, you kind of, it's time. Like the biggest thing that we had to work through recently was my son didn't know how to, like, you know, when we would leave and he's having so much fun, he doesn't want to leave. And so, I mean, he would cause this crazy scene. And I learned a lot of this through Nate even, and how he would respond to his boys. I feel like Nate has this pretty locked. I think it's just through experience. And maybe he just, you know, I'm catching him on his good days.
Yeah,
but that's he, it. But he, bro, he had his boys like, man, you know, pretty fire in the way that he's just composed. And I know that there's days where we'll lose it. But, man, I'm trying to really intentionally tell myself, hey, like, it's going to be fine. You know, they're having a moment, but it's not who they are. And so... really just processing through with these boys. And a lot of it is just age in general. They're not like 4 and 7 yet. So yeah. I can't compare my kids to Nate's kids because, you know, they're not there, but they're developing, you know, just understand, well, hey, what's my boundaries? So a lot of times if I can actually just, you know, brave through the storm and just, you know, getting past like the whole emotional scene, majority of the time, my oldest son will kind of like look at me and he'll kind of like try to hear me out. I don't know. He's fully understanding, but he knows, hey, like I'm in a safe space. And so a lot of, you know, parenting for me as of late, even, you know, it's just making sure that my son feels like he can express himself and that my response to him isn't just out of an emotional crisis either, where I'm just responding in a negative way. I'm actually allowing him to develop, allowing him to actually have his emotion and being able to have the wherewithal to actually teach him.
Wait, can I tell you guys a funny story?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
John, I'll tell you who it is after we're recording, but one of our mutual friends, we all know this person, and he has two sons. And when they got old enough and they figured out the power that they have in public with their parents, they started using their power. And their youngest one, he's just like a savage kid, and he just wants to put his parents in embarrassing situations just to see how they'll react. And so, they're like a, you know, a biracial couple. And so, he would go up to, you know, this is so bad. When he's with his mom, who is white, he'd go up to, like, you know, African-American guys and be like, are you my dad? Are you my dad? And she's like, I'm so sorry.
Holy cow.
Or they'd be at the cash register and he'd be like, you know, they'd be checking all the stuff and he'd be like, you know, this is not my mom. And like, clearly they looked different. And they're like, you know, then she'd have to like take out pictures and be like, no, like, but he, like, he like got in a habit of, so like when Tommy, when you're saying you get anxiety with like taking kids out in public and stuff, like my mind always goes like, at least that's not our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, that's crazy. Are you my dad? Like just to get a reaction. Oh my God.
Kids are professional manipulators.
Yes.
Bro, and by the way, it starts at an early age. Bro, my oldest son recently just found out that if he gets like, you know, if he gets into like an emotional situation and, you know, like we're kind of like being stern with him, he'll act all sweet. And he was like on my wife's shoulder the other day, you know, leaning down, and she was like, oh, buddy, it's okay. You know, thinking that, you know, like, oh, look, he's having a sweet moment. And then he looks at her and he goes, cookie, cookie. And I'm like, dude. No, you're not getting a cookie, man. Like, that's crazy. He's not even three yet, bro.
Dude, my kids will say some crazy stuff. Dad, can we have ice cream before dinner? And I'll be like, no, of course we can have ice cream. And then they'll go to mom. Dad said we're not allowed to eat any food today. And I'm like, yo, you guys, what are you talking about?
That's incredible. There's nothing more... Like I love it when my daughter starts like playing it a little bit, because I'm like, I can't wait for her to be older. Like if she's like in a business scenario, like trying to make a sale and like, or whatever she's going to be doing, like, I'm like, work it, like get started now. Keep hustling, keep doing your thing. Cause I hope that it transmits later on in your life. Cause it's unbelievable how this is one thing I did find though. If I don't get on her level, she won't reason with me.
You mean like physically?
So physically, if I don't change my posture, I'm either looking down at her, right, and just talking at her.
Yep.
And she has a hard time like computing it because she feels like she's in trouble or that there's something else going on or whatever. But the moment that I get down on her level or pick her up and just look at her eye to eye, all of it changes.
So good.
And it's changed everything for how I do dad things with her. It's different, a little different for my wife, because she can pull the strings a little bit more with my wife, because they have their own dynamic and their own thing going
right.
on. But when it comes to me and Maeve, like when I hold her and I have her eye to eye and we get the chance to, or if I'm like down low and I'm on her level, and we can connect that way, I've found that the manipulation isn't as strong and her temperament changes. And she's not as hard to deal with in moments, which is always, because that's the, if there is one thing where it is so easy to not do, is to not change my posture.
Yeah. I think that is honestly one of the keys to healthy leader. I almost said healthy leadership. I'm also on another podcast, Leadership Leading. Yeah. A healthy parenting is like realizing, it's interesting, right? It's like, if someone wanted to like bully us, like, to be honest, unless someone physically is like, could throw me across the room, like, you're not emotionally going to bully me. Like, I just, you know, I'm confident in myself, you know, but we're also not looking at someone who's literally 4x our size. Like, we're actual giants to our children, especially when they're like, you know, 2-3 years old, like we're physically 3-4x their size. And to get down on their level, I think it's like, why do our kids feel like they have to have such big reactions or manipulate? It's because they're trying to compensate for, you know, the difference of the, you know, the impending size and emotional and all that stuff. And so I think what you just said is such a, like, if a parent wants to change their relationship or their bonding structure with their kids, the number one, like, easiest step they could take, the first step is what you just said, is get on their level, I think.
Yeah. A lot of times I think kids don't know, you know, they can't, it's hard for them to identify, like, you know, what they're experiencing it. So I think, you know, I think we were actually talking about it a little while back about, you know, getting on kids' levels and just making sure that they, you know, have just a chance to connect. And I thought what you said was so good, bro, as far as, you know, getting eye to eye, it's something that has actually changed a lot for our family as well. Understanding that piece of that, I thought that was so clutch, man, of you saying that. As you're, so your daughter is 2.5 right now. Has she been,
She
ha
is.
has she been a pretty easy run? Like, if you will, I don't know if there's a right checklist to say
Yeah, I
what's
don't know if
easy,
easy. Yeah.
but for the most part, have you guys had a good go with her?
Oh, I mean, she's a dream child in so many ways. Like, she's slept through the night starting at like 6 months, and which is awesome. And even the moments before then, when she slept, like, she slept really well. So, like, the stretches are always nice. So we like there. Obviously, it's a baby, so there's moments where the kid's gonna wake up, and you're not gonna sleep as much as you'd like. That's just normal. I don't think you can get them, but other than that, she's the smartest. I literally could not tell you where she got all of her brain power from. Definitely was not me, for sure my wife. And it is unbelievable. She's so smart. And she's way advanced in almost every category intellectually, which is really nice, because in terms of communication, it's like, her library of words already at her age is like insane. Like, she can phonetically say xylophone and it's not even a problem. So you just ring it off. You're just like, what? Like, what is happening? Or she'll actually entertain dialogue to start. She's not like one that's waiting for it. She'll like entertain dialogue. She'll
That's
like
wild.
steal the she'll like steal the phone from us, and she'll be like, "Hi, how are you doing?" And we're like, "What? Like,
Most
why?
adults don't
Stop."
know to start there.
Yeah, it's like, what, like, how in the world? And a lot, like, I call my wife the president of child development in our home. She works in education. She's a school counselor. And so she's like already like into the weeds, with development and making sure that kids are healthy and good. And so she invited that into our home and did that so well with Maeve. So I'm excited that she gets another round, with another baby, to do it again, because it's fascinating to watch her be a parent, to be honest. I feel like I've learned so much just from her, of like how to just like do actual developmental strategies as parents. So Maeve has been great in that department, to be honest. Like, we've been really spoiled, but she's also too smart for her own good. Like, I'll tell you that too. Like, she takes advantage of it, and she knows how to work it, and she has a ton of fun with it and all that stuff. But it's we're definitely spoiled in that department.
The only reason why I asked that is because, our first one was a dream too, and Nate seems like he had a similar situation where he had a good run. No? You didn't have a good run with River?
I don't know if he was a dream.
How quick he shook his head.
I'm like, because when I asked him last week, or it was like a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, like, we were talking about River and Grace and how, and Levi and my son Oliver are completely different. And so the second born has always had this crazy second born energy, bro. And it seems to be true. I hope that is not true for your case. But all I'm
So,
saying is be prepared.
are you guys? I don't know. Do you guys have siblings? And where are you guys at in the pecking order?
He's the oldest, I'm the youngest, but my brother and sister are 9 and 10 years older than me. So it's kind of like a big,
You told me that a long time ago. So
Yeah.
me and my wife were both second children.
Perfect.
So I feel like we're so ready to go on all the strategies to help number two out, because we're so familiar with,
That's so good.
I'm going to put it this way, putting up with all the BS of the older child. So it's because it's such a thing. And we both have great relationships with our siblings, but it's, there's always just that like dynamic of like, I'm forever little bro, and I know that. But there's a lot of things that I learned way later on that I wish I learned earlier, that I'm excited to be able to help out baby number two with. So
Let's go.
that's cool. You are uniquely qualified as a couple for your son.
It'll be a fun dynamic, because we both have had our unique things throughout life that we've experienced as being the younger child. And so I'm excited to help out baby number two. But a lot of it is we've just been educating Maeve about baby sits. So we've just been very forward about like communicating about baby sis and giving Maeve a chance to talk to the belly, like constantly like engaging that and letting Maeve help participate in setting up the home for baby number two, like all that kind of stuff. So we've just been after it so that it's an invited process versus like just a steamroller of just another child in the house. So
dude, we had some friends and they couldn't leave their firstborn with their secondborn for the first 6 months because you know I think their firstborn was, you know, almost two, not quite, like could comprehend but not communicate type thing, and they'd walk out, you know, the first couple times and then come back and then have like a pillow in like trying to you know, like this crazy stuff. And so yeah, the fact that you're already you're getting it is just, you know, I think that a lot of parents don't like, we never thought of that with River. We were never like, you know, oh, we got to get River ready for a brother. I think in retrospect, and you know, we had Grayson before we were ever on this flow where we were really really critically thinking about parenting, but it's such a big deal. Wait, can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
This might be too much information, but I remember when we had River, someone gave me some parenting advice and they're like, if I can give you any advice, when you're in the room and the baby's coming out, watch the whole thing up front. It's the most beautiful experience of your entire life. And I remember being in the not the operating room, but the labor room. And like, I looked down and I saw his head crowning and I was like, oh my God, this is horrible. Like I freaked out. I was like, oh my, like I verbally, and Steph's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing, you're doing great, babe. Like, this is amazing. You're so strong. And I'm like, oh God. Like, I have my relationship with the whole thing is yeah.
Yeah.
What are you guys the same way? Are you like a, oh man, birth is beautiful and blissful? Like, am I crazy? Am I not sensitive?
Yeah, man.
I feel like you'd be like, let me catch it.
You know, I'm actually not great at like with blood and stuff, you know? And so I wasn't like, I was kind of nervous, to be honest with you, going into this whole situation. Now when they like would use all these verbiage, oh, like the baby's crowning, like, you know, like the anticipation for it and my excitement was like, man, I need to actually just kind of like take a peek real quick. And I looked at them, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like insane. And I didn't look at the whole situation, you know, like the whole time, but there are moments where I was like, it was an emotional experience for me because we had such a rough run, you know, with our experience in pregnancy. And so I wanted to, I was just so stoked that I think I was on such adrenaline that it didn't even faze me.
Yeah.
Cause normally if I wasn't on, I think I would pass out, to be honest. I'm not good with blood at all. I'm just not, I'll just say it. It's my wife, she thinks I'm such a baby about it sometimes. And so it is what it is. But I think in that moment with, you know, with Levi, I was like, holy cow. And then when he started crying, I lost it. And oh my God, it was such an emotional thing. And so some people are not like that. Some people are like, man, like, I don't even want to watch that thing. Just get me ready when he's cleaned up.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. What about you, John?
They literally just, so my Maeve was breech. So we had a cesarean for our first one. And the doctor looks at my wife and asks, do you want to have the clear curtain or the blue curtain? And my natural instinct is like, I really don't want to watch surgery. Like I'm in the room.
Understandable.
I would want to just like be able to look at my wife and not see her cut wide open and then pull out like a baby. So as aggressive as that sounded, but that's what happens. So she immediately doesn't even give me a chance to say anything. She goes, clear curtain. And I'm like, what? You don't even get a look at this. You're laying there on your back, like looking straight up and you can't feel anything. You can't even look. And so I'm like, this is, you gotta be kidding me. So I'm have to wash this whole thing. And it's not like the most pleasant like experience, to be honest. Like there's people that are infatuated with that. I don't get that. Like that doesn't
very work strange.
So it's strange. So I think I'm hoping that this go around, the whole, like we're trying to do a VBAC. So trying to do like an actual, cause baby's head down. So I'm going to try. She's a good candidate for a VBAC. the scar tissue isn't too intense. So we're really hoping that we can have a natural birth on this one. And my wife is also. So she's like overly excited about it. She's one of the people that is like, I was made to be a mom. I'm made to give birth. Like,
Oh,
don't give me
Steph,
any drugs. And just pinch my arm to distract me kind of person. And so which is awesome, like all the power to you. But like on the first go around, I'm like, I literally like look up and there's just like doctor or doctor just like grabs a baby out, just like holding May by a leg. And I'm like, this is crazy. This is wild. And then I mean, obviously it's such an emotional moment because you're like, for us guys, it's like when our wife's pregnant, they're like constantly like, they think that we're just as emotional as they are about having a
No,
child. No, we don't feel it.
we're
We
not
don't
parents yet.
understand it. Yeah, we're not parents yet. Like, there's nothing about it that even makes sense. I'm just like, you're just hyper emotional. I don't understand you. So it's like, and I get that you're growing a baby. I get there's all these dynamics going on, but there's like, I want my wife back. So let's have the baby so I can get my wife back. And so when all of this is like going on, I'm just like, this is just too much. This is insane. So the whole idea of becoming a dad doesn't really hit you until you see the
It's
child.
true. It's true. Yes.
Like the
I'm
moment
we
later.
get a lot of guys who are like, "Hey, my wife's pregnant and I don't feel anything towards this kid." And we're like, "Yeah, that's totally natural. Here's a way to do it. Just take care of your wife." You know, it's like,
Yeah.
but you're not going to have that emotional response like your wife is until you're holding that kid.
Yeah, it's I was
Oh
feeling
yeah.
so. You know, it's so funny you say that, and I'm so glad you said it because I do think a lot of newer dads that are on our channel, a lot of the questions comes up a lot, like where they're like, "Hey man, I actually feel a little guilty. You know, I don't feel like there's an emotional connection between me and the kid, and now I feel guilty with my wife because she wants me to feel the same, you know, emotions, but I don't feel it because I'm not really the one holding the baby." And so that's a great thing to touch on, and I think a lot of guys, you know, who would probably listen to this. Hopefully, man, they're hearing it and saying it's normal. It's a normal thing.
And I would say all the way up until like they start blinking at you. Like
Yeah.
I know a lot of dads who are like, dude, I feed my kid and but like that first, you know, couple months, it's like it doesn't do any. It just your baby just sits there. It's like
Yeah.
there's it's like, you know, it's just on the outside now. You know,
Yeah.
it's like
I really don't feel like I had like a genuine connection with my daughter until like 6 months ago.
really?
Yeah, it's not saying that I didn't have like a connection, but
Yeah, of course.
like a genuine like
Father, daughter,
father
bond,
daughter like
yeah.
connection. Yeah, it's like 'cause the connection she has with my wife is so strong that it's like I never wanted to get in the way of that. I'm like, just milk that out for everything that you get. 'Cause I have the best relationship with my mom. I love my mom to death. She's my hero. And like if my daughter can have that same experience and feel that same way about her mom, I'm like, sign me up. So it wasn't that I wasn't showing up or being present or doing all the things that like a dad would. I was doing all those things, but the connection piece really did not set in. Like in my opinion, I could be wrong. My wife could listen to this and be like, you're an idiot, and that's fine. But like for me personally, I really didn't feel like it really became that super strong until she like turned, like right before she turned two.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not.
I feel like that kind of makes sense. You know, it's like our boys, and maybe it's a girl thing, you know, but I feel like we had a really very similar experience where both of our boys were like mama's boys, like could not separate. I couldn't put them to bed type thing, you know, like it was
Yeah.
all her. And then they turned three and they flipped. And
Yeah.
Steph was like, they don't love me anymore. Like, what the heck? And they became like, you know, daddy's kids. Like, now we're outside playing or wrestling. And it's like, you know, it's like there was like a almost like a bond switch, you know, where you just kind of flop a little bit. But yeah, dude, you said something really, that I think is we skipped by earlier. And you said like really casually, but like every family has its own rhythms.
Yeah.
And you know, we talk about it a lot actually on in our content on the podcast, but it's like the goal is not balance. Like, I don't think that you will ever achieve balance with children, but you can float a rhythm. You know, you
Yeah.
can figure out the tempo changes, and you know, it's like life is like music. It's less like equation. I mean, even though I guess music is math, but to a certain extent, it's like it's more of a rhythm and a beat than it is like a set system and an equation. And like all the stuff that we're talking about, I have a feeling like 5 years from now, we're gonna look back and be like, I have answers for things I used to struggle with, and we cried about that, and now we're laughing about it. And it's like it's just the rhythm of life. When John, when you have 14 kids and Tommy's on his 15th and we're still at two, like,
No,
14
catch
kids, dear God.
bro.
What?
I'm getting snipped, dog.
Same. I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done. I'm done.
Man.
I told her, I was like, March Madness is right around the corner. I was like, baby two comes out, healthy,
We're
good,
done.
get snipped.
You guys are two and done.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah,
I ain't playing zone defense. Ain't a chance.
we said three, but we'll take it one at a time, and then we got to two and we're like, all right,
That's
there it
amazing.
is.
I
Well,
told my wife, I told my wife this. And I know this might sound crazy. I told her, I was like, if we have two kids, I'll feel great. If we have a third kid, I refuse to be a bad dad.
yeah.
I go, if you put a third child in my lap, I'm scared for my life that I'll be a bad dad, and I do not want to be a bad dad. I was like, please don't do it to me. Like
That's
I
really good. That's great self-awareness.
was, I mean, with my schedule and my life and all that kind of stuff, like a lot of people are like, just get a nanny so you can have a third kid. I'm like, I don't want to get a nanny to have a third kid.
Yeah, what do you
Yeah.
mean? Hey, have
Yeah.
a third kid so someone else can parent them.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's how it would feel. Like, and I
Right.
don't want that. Like, I want to be as ever involved as I ever could be in the whole parenting thing. So it's like, if we have a third kid, I'm screwed. Like there's.
John, we gotta wrap up the pod. We've already been on for almost an hour, and it just feels like we could have another episode and keep going. But we have another call here in about 5 minutes. Is it okay if I ask you some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Some serious ones, some not so serious. You can just answer, yeah, whatever.
Like, are you looking for like one word answers here, or like, what do you like?
Yeah, brief answers. Brief
Okay,
answers.
great. Yeah.
Okay, favorite NBA team.
Lakers.
Wow. Okay, great. Favorite NFL team.
Seattle doesn't have basketball, so I'm just like, we're. I hate to say it, but like I kind of just follow around. Well, actually, so I would naturally, I'm a Lakers fan right now, like I have been because of Kobe, and then I love that LeBron's there. I love watching his career. But then I have a friend right now that's playing for the Pelicans, so I've been rooting for the Pelicans. So
I'm the same way. I'm from Seattle. My favorite team is dead. Rest in peace. So now I'm just a fan of history. I just want to see history be made in the NBA. That's all I want.
exactly.
So
Exactly.
whatever, wherever that is most likely, like I want the Warriors to go 7 rings. I want Steph to get 7 rings. I want LeBron to play with the Sun. I want all the things.
That would be unreal watching LeBron play with his son. That'd be insane.
You're
It's
about to go
never been
see
done.
him on Saturday, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bronny.
We'll see.
That's so epic. That's
Oh,
amazing.
okay, next one. What book have you most gifted or has meant the most to you besides the Bible?
Probably A.W. Tozer, Knowledge of the Holy.
Big Tozer fan.
I love Tozer, can't get enough.
The same. See, yeah. It's like Lewis and then Tozer for me. I love it.
Yeah, and the Knowledge of the Holy, it's like 88 pages, and it
Yeah.
takes you like 6 months to read.
I was gonna say it's a short read, but not a quick read. It's
Nope.
like I gotta read that first page again. That's all of Tozer.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
it's next level. It's next
Okay.
level.
If you could have a billboard over the busiest highway in the world, what would you put on it?
That's you can go a million different directions. Like my
Totally.
comedy brain comes out, and then also like my serious brain. I always what makes me. You probably remember this. So if you drive to Portland from Seattle, when you get to like the middle of nowhere in no man's land in Washington, There's always that like that billboard that has Uncle Sam on it.
Yes, dude.
Do you
Like
remember
by
this?
Centralia, yeah.
Yeah, and it always has something on there that makes you think.
Yep.
And so I would probably put something up like that that just makes you think, because it's just like, for me, I love encouraging thoughts. Like, I don't really care what you vote for, and who you vote for. Would it be my hope and desire that you would come to know Jesus? Absolutely. But aside from that, in terms of like politics and all that kind of stuff, I don't really care. I'm like, you get your right to do that as an American. Have fun.
Yep.
And so, but I love billboards like that one that like get you to think, because like they'll like put stuff out there like in regards to like politics and such, and it's beautiful, like it's epic. And it's just like you can just see people like white knuckling as they're going past it, and then you see like the people that are just like, oh yeah, awesome, brother, like great.
it's been there since I was 4 years old. I'm like, who's updating this? Who's still updating this board?
So I would want to be remembered like that. Like if I had a billboard like that, like where it can hit everyone's memory bank even 20 years later, 30 years later, it's like, why not?
Okay, last question. If you could name it, what would be your favorite failure that led to a later on success or lesson? And maybe we could stick with fatherhood, kind of in that vein.
Gosh, that's a hard question. I thought you said rapid fire.
I know, I'm realizing, I'm like, I think each one of these could have been like a proper,
Talking point.
yeah, talking point.
Oh man. Jeez, biggest failure. That's
It's
wow.
okay if you don't fail. It's fine too. I
No,
get it.
I think it's for me, it's always on terms, right? Like, what is the subject of failure in that regard, right? So, and it's not to make it think bigger or whatever, or context or whatever, but I think improper reactions at the improper time, if that
All
makes
of us.
sense.
Shoot. Yep.
Yeah, it's because I think that whenever I do that, number one, my kid is more deserving and my wife is more deserving.
That's
So
right.
if I look at those like improper reactions at improper times, it's always, it could be subjected as a failure, but it's obviously a huge learning point. It's like an opportunity to learn and to be better and to grow and to have a conversation of why, and to be able to move past it and get better. It's like one of the things I love encouraging myself to do, and even my daughter, is every day we have an opportunity to be better,
So good.
and we have to wake up and decide it. Like we have to wake up and just to choose to decide that for ourselves. I even mention that a lot with education stuff that I do in my own industry, is like, if people aren't happy, like wake up and
You have
choose
the
to be
choice
happy.
to, yeah, that's right.
That's it.
Like go get it. So, it's the same thing even with parenting. It's like if I'm having an improper reaction at an improper time, like I love that. I'll say it this way for the sake of who I am, but I'm so thankful that God's mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
And so I can't wait to have a better reaction at a better time tomorrow. So
Yep.
and learn from the mistake of that. So because my wife and kid do deserve better in those moments. So figuring out what works there is always it'll be a learning curve forever, but
Yeah.
we've been blessed to have the chance to have those moments, regardless
That's
to if they're time.
bars.
Oh.
I feel like you just literally, that's like the mantra of the podcast, is like better every day. You have the opportunity to learn from your yesterday to get better today. And I think you already said it, like in our context, that God's mercies are new every day. And if he's the perfect example of how we should treat other people, the perfect example of relationship, then that means our mercies need to be new. That means our graces need to be new for even towards our family and towards ourselves. And
That's it.
so I think that's really good. John, we got to wrap up. Tommy, anything last from you?
No, I thought this was just the perfect podcast, man. And I feel like there should be a round two with Brother John here. Bro, you have said some bars, bro. And the fact that you're a hooper, I'm like, that's all I'm gonna remember you as now. I'm like, all right, he's
Hey, next time if you're in LA in person, let's do a round two. We'll play horse and we'll record while we play.
Oh yeah, let's do it. I'm
That'd be
down.
awesome.
I'm
Be
down.
so
Well,
good.
thanks so much. Thanks so much for having me. It's been cool to see you guys do what you've been doing, and I'm excited for what the future holds for all of it. And hopefully there's more dads out there that you guys can instill confidence in, and just keep building up this next generation of dads, or even previous dads that get the chance to listen to this and have the opportunity to learn more. It's like we as every day we get older, we get another chance. So it's just cool to see that you guys are doing this, and awesome that you guys encourage dads. So better dads means a better world. So I'm excited that you guys are doing this. So thanks.
We're stealing that line. We're stealing that line. Better dads, better world. That's so good.
Let's go.
John, thank you so much, man. Thank you for jumping in. We hope you and the fam, and you know, as it's growing, everything's safe, and we can't wait to see the pictures and hear the stories. And yeah, we'll be in contact very soon.
We appreciate it so much. Yeah. Bro.
All right, guys.
All right, man.
See ya.
Peace.
Hey, that's just dads who try, dog. That's just dads who try. Team don't sleep, baby. Dads who try.